guys ever ordered anything offline? Anybody like you like online shoppers? You ever done that? And well, I've ordered some stuff online. If you ever do that, like you have no idea where you're getting. Like you order your stuff, click, 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 you send it, hey, that comes to your house. And then half the time or most of the time, it's not anything that you thought you were getting. You see this awesome picture? Like have you ever gone, you've gone to fast food restaurants, right? I'm assuming you guys eat fast food. Anybody? You guys have the fried Oreos downstairs, by the way? If you missed it, you need to get some after. But like, you go to a fast food restaurant. What does that big old McDonald's, like Big Mac, look like on the menu? Have you seen it, like up there? It's glorious. It's like this big, beautiful bun, and there's cheese like gooing out, and the burger looks like it's that thick, like they just cut the cow's butt right off and stuck it on the. It's delicious looking. And then you get that thing, and you open the box. You're like, yes, it's gonna be amazing. You hear Angel is like, la, what? Where's my burger? And you're like looking through and there's like no burger in there. It's this dried up nasty piece of still deliciousness because it's McDonald's. Let's face it, I eat it every time, right? But it's just not what you thought it was going to be. You feel kind of like shafted, like lied to. Or how about those like pizza commercials? You know where they like, I think it's Domino's, where they like pull the slice off the pizza and that cheese just keeps going and going. It's like, and I think there's one where the dude, it's like a dad, he like gets it, he's delivered, he opens it up and he starts to like pull a slice and walk to like his office across the house and the cheese is behind him like all the way through the house. You ever seen that one? But it's a total lie because has that ever happened to you? No, the cheese doesn't look like that. I wish it did. That would be heaven. I think that will be heaven for us, but that's a whole nother day. Sometimes you just feel lied to. You feel like, man, it was advertised this way, but like, this is what I got. And nobody likes, do you guys like to feel lied to? Anybody enjoy that feeling when you feel like someone totally deceived you? Anybody? No, right? Like, let's just say it's your senior year. How many seniors do we got in here? Any seniors? All right. Yeah, last year, y'all. Hopefully, if you don't pass, I'll be seeing you next year. But you get to a senior trip and your school's like, we're going to do an awesome senior trip. You guys are going to go to Hawaii this year. You're like, this is awesome, right? 2 weeks out to your senior trip, your principal walks in your senior class like, listen, guys, we're not going to be able to do the trip. What happens? Yeah, you're like throwing stuff. Like there's rebellion. The school's going nuts. You guys are so mad because you feel shafted, right? You're like, I'm lied to. You promised me this, but then you didn't give it to me. And I feel like, follow me for a second, there's a whole lot of those examples we could list, isn't there? Like, I mean, if we went around to every person, you could just list all the ways we're lied to or deceived, or it's just a little different from how we were promised something was gonna be. And we're looking forward to it and we're excited, but then you get it and you're like, man, that's not it at all. Like, that's not at all what I thought it would be. And we get mad about it. I get frustrated. So my question for you guys tonight, as we enter into this time just looking at God's Word, I want you to think about this question. Do you get that mad when you're lied to by the world about what life is really about? When the world comes up to you and says, hey, life is about partying and friends and looking good and drinking and doing drugs and all this stuff is so much fun and so exciting and so awesome. You're gonna love it. It's gonna be great. So get to the party, hang out with those people, try those things. And then you get there and you try it and it's done and you get that sinking, like guilty feeling in the bottom of your stomach and you just feel like total trash. And you're like, what did I just do? This isn't what I was promised. Or you wake up one morning pregnant and you're like, this wasn't the deal. Or hungover. Or just broken. And you're like, but they promised me it would be like this. Do you get that upset when you're lied to about that? You get that upset when the world totally feeds you a lie about what life is about. And then you get it. Like, this isn't it at all. You see, the world's really good at that. We've been fed lies for a long time, y'all. Especially when we talk about life itself. You know that I was doing some research on this topic of life because the study we're going to be going over for the next couple weeks is called That's Life. We're going to study the resurrection. Where does life really come from? And you know that I did a little research to see, like, are people even interested in knowing about this? And Psychology Today, it's this like big, like fancy newspaper magazine thing where like really smart people read it. Okay, so I got some research from that. One of the quotes in that says that death is now in vogue. You know what that means? That people are talking about death a lot. Like, it's kind of a hot topic. Today in our culture, people are interested in talking about death. They go to coffee shops and they sit at Starbucks and they just discuss death. What do you think it's going to be like after we die? What do you think is going to happen? And it's kind of like this hot topic and people want to know. They say that a lot of people in our culture, especially in America, one of the hottest topics to talk about is what happens when we die. It's crazy. There's this poll. It's like a research agency called Gallup Poll that goes out and researches different questions. And this is what they reported about a certain question. It says that 73%, that's a lot, that's almost all. Okay, 73% of Americans believe strongly that there's life after death. Not saying they're Christians, just saying that they believe somehow that there's something after this life. 73% of our country believes that. And the other 27% might not believe that, but they say they admit to often thinking about death itself and what actually happens. I'll take it one step further. They interviewed teenagers and they said that the average teenager, this is unbelievable. The average teenager thinks about death once every 5 minutes. 5 minutes. I was like, did I read that right? Is that a misprint? In one way or another, somehow death is popping into people's minds. You're thinking about it. You're seeing messages on TV. You're seeing billboards. It comes up in a conversation. And somehow, even in a small way, every 5 minutes, we're confronted with this question about what's gonna happen when we die. Every 5 minutes. Now, you might be below that average or above. I don't know. Maybe think about it all the time. Maybe you're like, I never think about it. But the average teenager, every 5 minutes. See, our culture is infatuated with knowing the answers to this, and so our culture's throwing answers out there. They're like, here, check this one out, check that one out, and they have no idea. They're just lying. They want to sell something, they want us to believe something, and so they're trying to feed answers to us, and a lot of us are looking for those answers, and they know it, so they want to give it to us. And it's not just right now, y'all. It's been a long time. As a matter of fact, since the beginning of time, man has always asked that question. Like every civilization, every society, they've always had to face that. You know why? Because we all die. How many funerals have you heard about just this year? And there's something about sitting in a funeral and you're there and you're like, man, if you knew the person, you're like, I just talked to them like last week. Like, I just heard their voice. I saw them moving. I saw them breathing. I had a conversation with them. Like that was a week ago. And today, as I'm sitting in this church building, they're laying in a casket. They actually know right now the answer to what happens after we die. And I just talked to them last week. And as I sit here, they know the answer because they're dead. And it causes us to think, what happens? This question keeps coming back at us. Even in the Bible, obviously, Job, you guys know who Job is. Job in Job 14:14. Asked that question, if a man dies, will he live again? What happens after we die? We have this curiosity to know. And when I live 80, 85, hopefully, please God, 90 years maybe, you know, like some of us, what happens then? What happens when I take my last breath and I close my eyes for the last time and my heart stops beating? What happens? Where will I go? Where will I be? And it's something that every person in this room one day will have to face unless Jesus comes back early. And we'll have to face that moment where we step in to death, to something else. And so we need to know the answer. We need to know what the deal is. People have been looking for it for a long time, right? Like the Fountain of Youth, you guys have heard of that, right? Florida, we're in Florida, the Fountain of Youth. Spanish came over there looking for the Fountain of Youth so that they don't get old. They don't want to die. They're looking for this like source of eternal life. If I drink the water, I never have to die. I'll stay young. We have philosophies like reincarnation where you just keep coming back to life as different things until you reach like a cow and then you're like, yes, I'm a cow. You know, I'm the greatest animal in the world. Don't eat me. Go to Chick-fil-A, right? Or how about this? Like there's modern science right now trying to look into medicines that will stop you from aging. They think they've found in your cell, in each of your cells, this thing that actually causes you to get older and age, and they're trying to figure out how to reverse that and stop it so that you don't get older. They're trying to make medicine right now, based on research, to keep you from getting older. Like people are frantically looking for ways to stop death. the computer science world, you guys probably see all sorts of TV shows on, like Person of Interest and other shows like that, where like they're trying to take our brains and like upload them into computers so that we don't have to die. Get rid of the body. I don't need this thing. I'll live in a computer. I'll be on the internet. I'll be like unimaginably smart. And I'll just live on forever in the computer because my consciousness will be there. You watch TV? Have you seen what scientists are trying to do with this art? It's crazy. And the driving force behind all that is death. Because every single one of us has to answer that question at some point. And you can either listen to the lies that are getting thrown at you, or you can search for the truth. And so tonight, I want us to search for the truth. Had enough lies, y'all. I don't know about you. I want to look into God's Word and see what He says about this. Matthew 25:46 says this about it. And these will go away into eternal punishment, but the righteous into eternal life. So the Bible's clear that there is life after death. So if you believe in the Bible, you can read clearly here that what Matthew's telling us is that we have something bigger to look forward to after we die. When you close your eyes, it doesn't all just disappear. You know, there's a lot of theories about what happens when you die. I checked a couple out because they're just weird. So they're kind of, I wanted to share them with you. Some people believe in soul sleep. Ever hear of that? Soul sleep. It's kind of like a big thing now. A lot of people are believing in that your soul basically takes a nap. When you die, your soul's like, I'm tired, man. It was a long life. Like, played a lot of dodgeball, ate too many fried Oreos. I need to take a nap. And it basically naps and then wakes up in this place called Nirvana, which is kind of like a heaven type deal where you're just like, woo, like all the time. Like, that's what they believe, soul sleep. There's a philosophy that says it just all stops. It's termination. It's like walking up to your computer and just pulling the plug out and it just goes black. Like, that's what happens. We just turn off like a computer and we're terminated. It's called termination theory. I just told you about one reincarnation where you just keep coming back. You die and then, boop, you're born all of a sudden. And, like, I come back being, like, into Brooke's body. You know, imagine that. Like, ooh, it's like that identity theft commercial. You know, like, anyway, that's kind of what happens until you become a cow. And then you get to go to heaven, like, after that, into their weird, crazy heaven and become part of God. And that's what they believe, reincarnation. Tons of people in the world believe that. There's another theory called absorption. And basically, God is this big fire. And, like, fires let off sparks, right? So a little spark goes into Kate, and a little spark goes here. Everybody gets this little spark. And that's your life. That's who you are. So you're basically God, but just a piece of Him. And we're all basically together make up God. And when you die, your little spark just goes right back into the fire and becomes God again. And you just disappear. It's called absorption. A lot of people believe that. There's a ton of lies out there, y'all. People just trying passionately to find an answer to something they don't know. And we're sitting here and we have the Bible, the Word of God, written by God Himself, a love letter to us saying, this is the truth. In the middle of all the lies, this is the truth. Will you listen to it? And He tells us the answers. Now, Paul's writing this letter. We're going to read through 1 Corinthians chapter 15 for the next few weeks. Tonight, we're only looking at two verses. All right? I know we got dodgeball coming up. I get it. So I'm going to do two verses. But as he writes this particular passage of this letter, he's writing to a place called Corinth. And Corinth is like this neighborhood, like the suburb of Athens. You guys ever hear of Athens? Right? They got a good gyro place in the mall. Athens gyros, try the gyro. The hummus is really good. It's delicious. But Athens was this center of philosophy and intelligence, and like people all gathered in Athens if they were like wanting to learn. It was a Greek society, and right outside Athens was Corinth. And so everything Athens kind of believed and preached and talked about would flow out into Corinth. And that's where Paul's writing this letter. There's a church there. People started to believe in Christ, but they're still hearing this philosophy from Athens, and they grew up hearing it. So even the people in this church who believed in Jesus started having these weird views on what afterlife looked like. They started to believe some of these things I just shared with you. Specifically, there was this one thing called, it's a big word, you don't even have to remember it, but I'm going to say it, philosophical dualism. Should I say that one a couple times? Right? Basically, what that meant is body bad, soul good. That was it. That's all you have to know. Anything physical was really bad, and anything spiritual was really good. So why would I want to come back to life? Why would I want my body to come back? Let my soul be free and fly away. That's what they thought. And so the people in the church started hearing that. And Paul went around, Paul's like, hey, listen, when you die, one day Jesus is going to bring your body back. He's going to give you a perfect body, and you're going to live in heaven with God forever. And they're like, why? Like, I want my soul to be free and fly off like a bird, like because of this philosophy. And Paul's like, no, you don't get it. That's not God's plan. That's not what God's going to do. There's this other philosophy in Athens going around that started to influence them called Stoicism. And it was the exact same thing I told you a second ago about the spark and the fire. They're like, well, I'll get to be God. I don't necessarily want my body to come back. I want to just go be God. And they were so enamored with becoming God himself that they were like, Paul, I'm not sure about this. All of these lies. There were Jewish people living there. The Sadducees. Ever hear of them? Right, I'm not even going to say the dumb joke Matt Denier always shares. Yeah, I will. They were very sad, you see, right? They were sad because they didn't know the truth. Thank you, Matt Denier. He's preaching tonight. Pray for him. He's over in First Coco preaching. But the Sadducees basically said there's no such thing as an afterlife. There's no heaven that we go to, and there's no angels. Like, they didn't believe in that spiritual stuff. They thought everything was here. And they were around preaching that same thing to the church. You see how these lies just get piling up on these people? And there's this one skeptic that was around in 220 AD, just like 200 years after Jesus. His name was Celsus. It's a cool name, Celsus. And Celsus said this, here's a quote. This is the hope of worms. For what soul of a man would any longer wish for a body that had rotted? Like, this Christianity stuff? You seriously want a dead body to come back? You want that rotten thing? And he was making fun of the Christians and their beliefs. Because he was picturing this like zombie coming out of the grave, literally, be like, like, stick your soul in there. And be like, that's not at all what Jesus had promised us. That's not how Jesus came back when he showed up in his perfect body that he promised we would have. But here's this church in Corinth, and all they're hearing are lies. So let me ask you guys. Those are their lies. Some are still very alive today. They just look different. What kind of lies are you being told? What kind of lies have you believed? Have you ever bothered to check it out? And if I told you that there is no heaven, would you be able to say, hey, Rob, you're wrong? How would you know? Well, it's in the Bible somewhere. Have you read the whole thing? Do you know that? Have you looked through the whole thing to see, yeah, it really isn't there or isn't in there? Can I challenge you guys to be people of the Word? Can I challenge you guys to read the Bible for yourself and not just trust your pastor or your life group leader to do that? Because you're being lied to. I'm not being a jerk. I'm just trying to tell it to you straight. You're being lied to. And you need to know the truth, and it's only found in God's Word, so read it. Read it and find out the truth. So Paul tells them the truth, and he really, really wants them to hear about actual resurrection because it's so important. It's so important that he writes this verse, Romans 10:9, when he's writing to the Romans. Check out what he says in this verse. If you confess with your mouth that Jesus Christ is Lord, and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead. You see that phrase? Resurrection, that God raised Jesus from the dead. You will be saved. He's confronting these people that are saying that Jesus never rose again because there's no such thing as a resurrection. That's weird, a body coming out of the grave. How can somebody come back to life? You just live the best you can, have a great life, God blesses you, and then it's over. And he's saying, a lot of people might tell you, like, hey, I believe that, but I don't believe Jesus rose or we, like, get resurrected, but I'm saved. I think Paul would disagree. Because he actually says that the resurrection of Jesus, that he beat death, means that he is God. He's Lord. And so anyone who doesn't believe that Jesus actually rose from the dead, I think Paul would disagree that you can find salvation without believing that fact. And so this is a big deal. Unfortunately, our culture, even kind of church culture and church life, has just let this one go, and it's become a lie for us to say, it's okay, it's not a big deal. As long as you say a cool prayer and you go to, you know, like church once in a while, you'll be good. I don't want to lie to you tonight. I'm reading the Bible. The one place we could find truth. I want to tell you truth tonight. If you believe in your heart that He's Lord, He's your King, that He died and rose again from the dead to save you and give you life, to forgive your sin, then you will be saved. You know what we call that? We call it this fancy word in church life. It's called the gospel. It's good news. That's what that means. That's real good news for me, y'all. Because I was a dirty, rotten sinner, and I needed Jesus to forgive me, make me right with God. I couldn't do it. And so Jesus died and rose again and beat my sin, and He beat death, and He paid for it so I don't have to. You know He did that for you too? He died for you. God Himself looked down at His creation that He loves so much, and we messed up and we disobeyed Him and we deserved death and punishment. But He said, I love you. I love you too much. And He sent His Son Jesus to die for you in your place. That if you believe in your heart that He's Lord and you believe that He was raised again, you'll be saved. I want you to hear that truth tonight. So look with me tonight. 1 Corinthians 15, 1 and 2. Here's those two verses I promised, and then we're going to get out of here. It says this, Now I would remind you, brothers, of the gospel that we just studied, right? The good news I preached to you, which you received, in which you stand, and by which you're being saved, if you hold fast to the word I preached to you, unless you believed in vain. So here's Paul. He's talking to these people, right? The Corinthians, and they're thinking like, there's no such thing as a resurrection. Jesus, like maybe Jesus raised again, but we definitely don't. Like that's just weird. Our bodies would stay in the grave. And so he says, hey, wait, you don't get it? So here we go. I need to remind you of something. You see that? Now I would remind you. Check this out. I've already told you this before. Look what he calls them, brothers. Like you guys are Christians. You've believed in Jesus. I showed up to Corinth and I started walking around and meeting people. And as I got in conversations, I started sharing about what Jesus has done for me in my life. And guess what? This person over here believed it. They're like, can Jesus do that for me? Yes, He can do that for you. And that person says, let's do that. I want to pray. And then they sat there and they surrendered their heart to Jesus and they became a believer. He said, come on. He brought them over here and they talked to some other people. And this person believed it and that person believed it until there was this church and this group of people that were called out of the world in sin, called into God's family, that believed Jesus really did die and rise again for them. And Paul leaves and this awesome church is there believing in Jesus, and he hears word that they're starting to kind of get lied to and believe the lies. And he says, listen, I was there. Remember when I talked to you? And then we went to her house and we talked about this and you believed it in your heart, brothers? Like you're saved. You've trusted in Christ. Can I remind you of the thing that saved you? Can we go back to the beginning where you first had your eyes open from the lies and the darkness and you saw the truth that Jesus is real? Will you remember that moment? Can I remind you of that? And he calls it the gospel, that good, good news when you heard, I don't have to go to hell. I don't have to spend eternity in a place of punishment when I die. Because God looked at me, every single one of you, and said, I love you. You messed up and you've basically sentenced yourself to punishment, but I've sent my son to say, no way, I'm going to die for you in your place. I'll take your punishment. Will you just accept me? And look what he says to the next. He says, I preach this to you. Like Paul was the one who did it. He's like, I know you got it in the first time because I was the one who preached it. So when I left, all these Athenians came in and started preaching to you other things, and you're starting to believe that. But I know you got the word because I was the one who brought it. I preached it to you straight, and you got the truth. You weren't lied to in this. Jesus is real. Jesus died for you. He's the Son of God. He beat death and rose again. And look what he says they did. He says, which you received. How come he didn't say, like, which you heard? You know? Like, which you claimed. He says, which you received. He used that word received for some reason because there's a difference between receiving something and just hearing it. You guys can hear the gospel right now, and there may be some of you who have never heard anything I'm talking about before, and you're just hearing it, and you're like, well, this crazy chunky dude, just be quiet so I can go play about, like dodgeball. Like, just be done. You're hearing it. But there's some of you here who have not just heard this message, you've received it. You opened up your heart to it. And you said, God, I believe this. I trust in that. I don't want to face punishment. I want to know God. I want to spend eternity with Him. Will you forgive me? You see, you received it. You trusted in Jesus. Have you done that tonight? As you're sitting here tonight, has there ever been a time in your life, maybe like tonight, where you thought about death? Where that question was looming right over your head saying, like, what's going to happen when you die? Have you ever done that and said, like, I need an answer. I need to know what's going to happen. I want to bring you the truth tonight and tell you God has died for you. So if you trust Him, receive Him, like it's saying here, to forgive you, He promises He will. You don't have to go out and become a perfect person. You don't have to go do a bunch of good deeds and come back here and be like, okay, I did my stuff now. I'm ready to get saved, ready for God to forgive me. He didn't say that. He said, even while you were still sinning, I died for you. Romans 5:8. I love you the way you are tonight, the way you're sitting here tonight, and whatever sin or problems you bring to this place, I love you and I've died for you. Will you receive my gift of salvation? It's up to you. Will you open your heart and trust that He's real and that He's knocking on your heart tonight right now as we talk? That's what He's saying. Have you done that? Look what else He says they did after they received it. He says, in which you stand. They were standing in that. Like, they didn't just like receive it, and like sometimes we go to these cool youth events, like maybe a camp or a sweet retreat or like Christian concert, and they preach the gospel, or some like slick youth pastor tells this cool story, and we're like, I want to get saved, and you get saved and you pray this prayer, and the next day you're right back out doing the same stuff you were doing before, and you never again think about that night. I don't believe that's necessarily what He's teaching us salvation is here. He's saying you open your heart up in a way that causes commitment for you to stand in truth, and that continues. You make a life-changing decision to say, God, I believe this thing. It's so crazy that a dude could come back from the dead. Like, can you guys imagine that? Like, how many of you have seen like a dude come back to life? Anybody seen a dead person come back to life before? None of you. So this is like absolutely insane, crazy to believe right now. We know somebody came back to life. His name was Jesus. That should blow your mind because you've never seen it before. And it's absolutely true. This whole chapter is going to talk about evidence proving that this thing is true, that Jesus really did rise again. This whole entire chapter, for the next like 2 months, we're going to see more and more evidence saying Jesus did rise again. Will that blow your mind? A dude came back to life. Because He wasn't just a dude, He was God. And He did it for you. And so they stood in it because that was so powerful it changed their whole life. The next week they were still trusting Jesus. 2 weeks after that, 3 weeks after that, the more they walked with Jesus, the more they loved Him, the more they became like Him because they're like in this relationship talking to God Himself as He's talking back and like, what? I could talk to God. Like we prayed at the beginning. God's going, listen, I'm listening to you. The same God who created you, who keeps you breathing right now, was listening to you. He has time to do that. That's awesome. And so they stood in this faith. Let me ask you a question about that. Okay, I believed in Jesus. I said this one prayer once. Are you still continuing and standing in that faith that you put in Christ? Tonight as you sit here, are you still believing that Jesus has saved you and you're living for Him? Or have you never thought of it since that moment that it happened? Has your life never looked any different? And if that's the case, will you take a second to ask God, just even as I'm talking here just right now, just ask Him, Lord, will you tell me if I need to actually believe this thing and receive it? I'm not standing in it, so maybe I never received it in the first place. Will you just ask Him to show you that? Because later on, I'm going to ask you a question, and I want you to be ready. Talk to God now and be like, Lord, is this something you want me to do? Because later I'm going to ask you. I want to pray for you guys. If you're in that boat, I want to pray that God does that for you. So be thinking and praying for that. Finally, look what Paul says, this last piece. Verse 2. And by which you are being saved. You truly open your heart up to God and say, Lord, I commit myself to you. I believe Jesus rose again from me. He saves you. And there's this cool thing where you're being saved. He's working in you. You're not perfect the next day. Ask anybody here that knows me. I am perfect, right? Some of y'all think I am. I know Caitlin thinks it. Right? Right? Nobody? I'm not perfect. Dave's not perfect. None of these leaders are perfect. Titus isn't perfect, our head pastor. We're not perfect, but God is saving us. He's working in us. He's changing us and transforming us every single day that we walk with Christ. There's a saving that's being done. We are locked in and assured that we're saved by Him from punishment, but He's still saving us by working in us each day to make us more like Him. Is that happening in you as you're looking at your life going, do I belong to Jesus? Are you looking more like Him as you live with Him? Is He changing you to look more and more like Him? If not, will you ask Him, God, what's going on? Do I need to accept You? Do I need to like surrender to You? Do I need to grow? Finally, Paul says this last phrase. If, like you're being saved, if, there's an if in this. Check this out. If you hold fast to the word I preached to you, unless you believed in vain. You can be saved if your faith was real. If you actually meant it when you surrendered your heart to Christ. Unfortunately, the Bible's full of examples where people said, hey, I want to follow Jesus. Let me get, like, Jesus is doing some awesome stuff. Like, He's really cool. He does miracles. He raises dead people to life. He feeds people with, like, just like a teeny little bit of food, and like, He's feeding all this crowd. Like, how's He doing this? That dude over there, he couldn't walk. He was born that way, and all of a sudden Jesus touches him. He gets up and runs around and dances. What's going on? I want to follow Jesus. But they were in it for the miracles and for the cool show Jesus was putting on. It was like a magic show for them. This dude's awesome. I'm going to check this thing out. They didn't have TV, right? So they can see this stuff. Like, this is sweet. And they claim to be His followers, but we see in John chapter 6, you can check that out in your devotions this week. Read through John 6 and see what happens in that chapter. And let me give you a quick preview. A bunch of people follow Jesus because He's doing miracles. And all of a sudden He gets to the end and He goes, hey, unless you eat My flesh and drink My blood, you can't be My followers. People are like, what? Like, people freaking out everywhere. It's like, that's disgusting. Like, and they're running off. He ends up with 12 people. It's 12 disciples that were following him anyway. He ran off multitude, like thousands and thousands of people were following Jesus till He says that. They're gone. And what He meant was not, hey, come take a bite of My arm. It's really, you know, salty and delicious. That's not what He's trying to say. Jesus was saying, you know, like when you eat food, it makes you strong. The nutrients from the food goes in your body and it changes your body and gives you strength to like go play hard and do things. When you believe in Jesus, Jesus should be changing you. It should be this intimate thing where Jesus is strengthening you in your faith, in your life. It shouldn't just be this thing where, oh yeah, it's a cool miracle, Jesus, and I'm still the same. I just want to watch a show. It should be this thing where you're in this awesome relationship that He makes you different. He causes you to be stronger. So He says, unless you believed in vain, that word, those words in vain, you know what that means? Just empty. Do you have an empty faith? And there may be some of you tonight that you had this empty faith. And you're like, man, I didn't really believe. It was kind of like the thing to do. My youth pastor said, raise my hand, and I did it, and I've never been different. But I want to be. I want to know Jesus in an intimate way that changes my life. Would you think about doing that tonight? Don't wait. We're talking about death. We don't know what is in store for us. We need to be ready. In the middle of all the lies, here's the truth. Jesus Christ loves you so that you can know for sure that He rose from the dead. And He's giving you the ability to have life forever with Him if you receive Him. You open your heart up and you say, God, I commit to You. I believe in You and I love You. And so Paul says at the end of this whole deal, right? Because he's talking about the resurrection. People aren't believing it. He says, get this part. Here's the first proof. The first piece of evidence I want you to see in this series we're going through. You're the evidence. You are living proof that Jesus Christ rose from the dead. The church itself, God's family, broken people who are sinners, who are not perfect in any way, who are rebellious and want nothing to do with religion. God called those people, and the power of Jesus was enough to call crazy, rebellious people into God's family, to repent, we ourselves are the very living proof and evidence that that is the most powerful, unbelievable thing in the universe, that a bunch of sinners would all of a sudden say, I repent and I want to follow you, God. And it's not just here in Merritt Island. It's all over the entire earth. God is calling people from 2,000 years ago when Jesus died and rose again. For 2,000 years, people around the entire earth are being called out of sin and rebellion. How does that happen? Evidence that Jesus is real, that He's God, that He rose again. So as you look at yourself and your life, if you're a believer, your first biggest piece of evidence, it's you. You're the living proof. As He lives inside of you right now, you're proof that He's rose again and that He's alive. Will you bow your heads with me for just a moment as we close? I want to give you guys just a second to ask some of those questions that we were talking about tonight. I'm not trying to make anyone feel awkward. If you feel awkward, just sit there, that's fine. But just in the quiet of your own head and heart, will you ask yourself, like, man, have I ever received Jesus like that? Have I seen the power of God actually save me? Am I still sitting here having no clue what's going to happen to me when I die? I got some ideas. I don't know for sure. Look, if you want to know for sure tonight, if you're hearing the truth of God's Word preached to you, telling you exactly what's going to happen and how you can live forever, and you're like, I want that. I want that. I want to know the truth. Will you do me a favor? Will you just pop your hand up in there and say, look, I want to know that truth. Like, I want to be saved. I want to receive Jesus. Not just hear about Him like we're hearing right now. I want to receive Jesus. Will you pray for me, Rob? Can you just slide your hand up in the air so I can see you and pray for you? I want to write you my prayer journal so I can be praying that God does a work in your heart. Can you just pop your hand up for me? I want to know who Jesus is. I want Him to save me. And if you're that person here tonight and you're like, man, I may have done that, I'm not sure, but I'm not living for Him right now. And I want to be sure. I want to know that when I pass from this world, I'm going to be welcomed by God into heaven. Rob, will you pray for me? Because I want to be sure of that. I want to live for Him. I want to see a change in my life. Can you just slide your hand up? I just want to pray for you. Just slide your hand up and say, pray for me that I'll start living this thing for real. You guys can put your hands down. Look, if you guys have any questions or you're just too nervous to raise your hand, I'm going to be around. Can I ask you one thing? Will you just come find me? I'm not going to bite. I'm not going to be mad. I'd love to talk to you. I know dodgeball is going to be going on. Cool, but I'll be over there. Will you just come talk to me and say, look, I want to know more about this. I'd love to talk to you guys. All right, I'm going to pray, and then you guys will come back up, and we'll do one more song of worship before we head over to dodgeball. Father, thank You that You made a way for us to know the truth. God, thank You that Jesus, Your Son, died for each and every one of us. He was perfect. He didn't need to die. He shouldn't have died. We deserve that. God, I've sinned. I'm messed up. Lord, I need Jesus. And so thank You that You gave Your Son for me. Lord, I pray for these students in this room, these leaders. I pray for myself. God, will You make it so plain to our hearts that You love us? If there's somebody in the room that doesn't know, God, how to be saved, Holy Spirit, will You convict their heart? Will You knock so loud that they can't resist You, that they would be saved and accept Jesus as their Savior? For the people here who are living for You, God, I pray that You empower them to be bold, to talk and share about this good news. It's great. Let us be loud about it, God, and share with everybody we know that Jesus died for us and rose again. Thank You for rising again and being God. We love You, Jesus. It's in Your precious name we pray.